morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this fifth Sunday in Lent. I'm so glad to see you all here today. We do have some little ones in the pews this morning, so I just want to remind you, sometimes little ones get wiggly, and sometimes little ones need to move about, and they need to shout or cry, and I'm telling you, that is okay. It is also okay if not so little people need to wiggle around or shout or cry. I totally get it. So we have a baptism today, so we're really looking forward to that. I also wanted to remind you, next week, next Sunday, is Palm Sunday. That means that Holy Week is just upon us. So for your Holy Week worship times, Maundy Thursday, that's March 28th, we will have a full service with communion starting at 7 p.m. And Good Friday, that's the 29th, we will have a Tenebrae service starting at 6 p.m. We're having an Easter breakfast?
Yes.
What time does it start?
9:30.
On Easter Sunday, the 31st of March, there is an Easter breakfast that starts at 9:30 over in Fellowship Hall. And then Easter worship to celebrate the risen Christ on at 10:30 in the morning. So, and then, just a heads up, we've got the craft show coming up on April 27th. So we will be asking you for some bake sale items. There's a little more time for that, but we'll just keep that in your radar. If you're in a baking mood and you want to bake something now and put it in your freezer, by all means, do that. Any other announcements that I'm missing? The only thing I can think of is the Apostles' Creed is going to be moved from our normal place, because we're going to do that during the baptism. Okay? All right. With that, let us gather together, place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings, and proclaim our readiness to worship with our call to worship. Every week is a new week. Another chance to say, here I am, use me. Every day is a new day. Another chance to say, thank you for yesterday. Thank you for tomorrow. Every hour is a new hour. Another chance to say, again and again, make me new. We do not come to this place to stay the same. We come to this place to be changed. So let us worship Holy God, who created yesterday, will create tomorrow, and even now is creating something new. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Thank you. In the prayer of confession, we take a moment to recognize how much space exists between us and the words, "We would like to see Jesus." Trust that even when we forget to seek out God, God is seeking us out. Join me in the prayer of confession as we take one step closer to the divine. Gracious God, we want to see you. We want to be known as the people who looked for Jesus. Not only that, but we want to be people who have your covenant written on our hearts. Why do we feel so far away from that at times? What went wrong? Where did we lose our way? Could you, would you, once again, write on our fragile hearts? We would be so grateful. Amen. Despite our wanderings, despite our distractions, despite our wrong turns, time and time again, we are known and loved by God. Like a lighthouse keeper by the sea, God will never stop waving us home. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel. Again and again, we are forgiven. Again and again, we are reformed. Thanks be to God. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. You can turn and wave to your neighbors. If you feel comfortable shaking hands or hugging, by all means. And now that you're all seated, let us hear from our choirs their anthem, "I Come to the Cross." Amen. Let us now come before the God who holds our life and even our death and pray for the transformation that Jesus has shown us is possible. Please join me as we pray. God of the cross, the grave, and the empty tomb, we lift up to you all within us that is messy in the messy process of death and resurrection. Transform us, we pray, into the likeness of your Son, that you might use us to bear much fruit in the world. May we die to environmental extraction and live to responsible stewardship. May we die to Christian triumphalism and live to interfaith humility. May we die to stagnation and aversion to change and live to the new things God is always doing among us. May we die to American exceptionalism and live to global citizenship. May we die to isolation and not in my backyardism and live to our shared humanity. May we die to division and partisanship and live to reconciliation and compassion. May we die to addictions and consumerism and live to our shared well-being. May we die to me and mine and to live and live to us and ours. God, who is always bringing new life out of death and despair, we pray for all those who need your healing hand this morning. For the hungry and the homeless, those sick and in prison, people living in fear, loneliness, or grief. This morning we especially pray for we pray in thanksgiving for Andrea Tweedy Miller, who was able to go home on Monday afternoon. Your prayers during her time in ICU and beyond are so appreciated, and God, we are so thankful for your caring and loving touch. We ask for continued prayers for Clara and the Kaler family as they grieve the loss of her son Justin, as well as traveling mercies for them as they are in Arizona to attend his funeral. Prayers for BJ's brother, Ray, who was hospitalized earlier this week with heart issues, but is now at home and recuperating. God, we ask that you answer the longing of your people with the gift of your presence. All of these things we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise, He Looked Beyond My Fall.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and takes on new life, it remains just a single grain. With grateful hearts, let us bring the fruit of our lives to God. Gracious God, it is our joy to return the gifts of our lives to you. May our offering this morning forever bring glory to your name, and may we continue to work tirelessly for the well-being of your whole creation. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from John 12, 20 to 33 in the NIV. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
Please pray with me. Holy God, by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, you lift the suffering world towards hope and transformation and open the way to eternal salvation. As we move ever closer to the passion of Christ, may your law of love be written on our hearts as he draws all people to himself, revealing your love for the world. Amen. when I was in my younger, more rebellious days? I don't think it's that rebellious, quite honestly. You might think it is. I dabbled in tarot card reading. And I don't know how much any of you know about it, but some folks seem to think that you can look into the future and what the future might hold by looking at some randomly selected cards. These aren't your usual regular bicycle playing card decks with, you know, like spades and diamonds and hearts and clubs. A tarot card deck has 78 cards in it, and 56 of them are in suits. They call those suits swords, wands, cups, and coins. And those are much like our regular playing cards, but with way different pictures on them. And the remaining 22 cards represent different characters that are supposed to tell you a little bit more about where you are on your journey of life. They have the characters like the Hermit, the Magician, the Chariot, things like that. And there's a whole host of ways to get a reading done. Basically, though, you ask an open-ended question about your life, and you shuffle the cards, and then you're asked to pull anywhere from 1 to 7 cards, but usually an odd number. And sometimes those cards that you've chosen, they're laid out in a line. Sometimes they're placed in a particular pattern. And then the reader turns the cards over one at a time and determines the answers to your questions based on the pictures that are on the cards, as well as where they're placed, whether they're right side up or upside down. I personally don't believe that the cards themselves have any sort of spiritual insight and are able to tell you your future, but I do find it entertaining. And the cards can make me think a little bit differently about what is happening in my life. I get that this is sort of a weird thing to be talking about in a Christian worship service, but here's the thing. Us humans, we don't do real well with uncertainty. When there's chaos in society or in our personal lives, we want reassurance. We look for answers. And since most other regular people are in the exact same place we are, we look for experts. People who have a special kind of knowledge. Maybe we go to a tarot reader. And our passage from John starts out with people just like us. These are Greeks who come to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. These Greeks, they're likely Gentiles. They're probably not Jewish. They're probably looking to convert to Judaism. These Greeks, they want to see Jesus. And it's likely they want to meet with Jesus and maybe become disciples. They've heard all about what Jesus is doing and saying, and they want to know what the future holds. This guy has some information, and maybe Jesus can make us feel better about what's going on. Right before this, Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem. People were laying out palm branches, and they were shouting, "Hosanna." We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. People from all over the place, they're flocking to Jesus. Some gather to hear him speak because he's inspiring. He reminds them of God's liberation of their ancestors. Others come to find ways to destroy him because his words threaten the status quo. So who knows what these Greeks want with Jesus, right? So Philip and Andrew, they tell Jesus about these Gentiles, and Jesus' reply is as cryptic as ever. Jesus just can't be straightforward. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Okay, we now know that the hour and the glorification Jesus is speaking of is his crucifixion and resurrection. As the hour grows closer, Jesus tries to tell the ones that he loves the most what's at stake. For the disciples, Jesus is just getting started. His reputation is growing. Even the Gentiles want to meet him. The crowds keep coming. The momentum is growing. There's absolutely nothing that could stop Jesus now. But Jesus tries to prepare the disciples for what's coming next. Yes, he will find glory, but it won't be in the way that they're expecting. Jesus speaks of wheat. A grain is just a grain. But in death, that grain has the potential to become something even more. If it dies in the soil, it can be reformed into new fruit, new life. In order for that seed to bear fruit, it must die. And that's what the death card means when it appears in a tarot reading. A lot of people get really freaked out when they see the death card. They think it means that someone is literally going to die, but really what it means is that one phase of life is ending so that a new phase of life can start. A reformation, a reformation is about to take place. Change, even when welcomed, it means death. As soon as two people say, "I do," at the altar, their singleness dies and they begin anew. They've got a partnered life now. When someone becomes a parent, their old life dies and they start a new life as a mother or a father. When we are baptized, whatever the age, our lives without Christ die, so we can live fully, vibrantly, in community with other believers. God writes on our hearts so we can be reshaped, reformed from the inside out. And that reformation is a journey of letting the old fall away so that the new thing God is doing can emerge. This process of transformation and reformation needs to be both internal, individual, and communal. I'll be honest, it's a deeply uncomfortable process. But the alternative, the status quo, that's untenable. Jesus' command to let go, to die, so as to bear much fruit, that sounds counterintuitive. But it includes the promise that Jesus will draw us close to him. That again and again there will be reformation. We all want to hold on to our lives, not just in terms of staying alive, but in terms of what we want and know versus what we fear and don't understand. At no point does Jesus deny that this is scary, but he reforms the uncertain and the frightening into the promise of new life. When reading the Gospel of John, I can't help but to think of what his initial readers were living through. There was a lot of internal conflict that would eventually result in the split of the Jewish and Christian traditions. If tarot cards were a thing back then, I bet the death card would pop up as they learn to let go of long-standing identities so a new community might thrive. The people of the first century were also experiencing a theological shift. They were expecting the second coming of Christ to be at any moment, any time. And they had to shift that to a wider vision of what it meant and what it means to be Christ's follower in a world without Jesus's physical presence. Their hopes and dreams in the immediate coming of God's kingdom had to die so that the new practice of seeking out the Holy Spirit's presence in our day-to-day life could be born. The Christian church reforms over and over and over again. There's an author, Phyllis Tickle, which is just a fun name. She writes about how the church goes through a major transformation about every 500 years. And if she's right, and I think she is, we're in the midst of one of those transformations right now. We're being reformed again. And that sort of makes me wonder what Glenshaw Valley needs to fall into the earth and die in order to bear much fruit. And what new things might be born from that rich and fertile soil. How can we live into our faith that God is not done using us? And not done with our community? How can we live into that to bear much fruit? What reformation, what reformation is God drawing us into again and again? I firmly believe that whatever comes next, we're going to see Jesus there too. And that's good news. Thanks be to God. Amen. You can sit. I thought everybody was. Thank you. Have a seat and listen to the choir as they sing a baptism hymn. Words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show us that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament. Christine Dalton, Victoria Paul, please come forward.
But there's his picture is up there. How do you expect him to look other ways? Huh? Hey, Dalton. TJ. What's up, buddy? Thank you. Christine and Dalton, in presenting your child for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want your child to study him, know him, love him, and serve him as his disciple. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say, I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciples, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, say, I will, with God's help.
I will.
Do you intend to raise Dalton to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, teaching him to obey God's word and show God's love? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Victoria and Paul, will you, by your prayers and witness, help Dalton to grow in the full stature of Christ? If so, say, I will. Are you sure?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Dalton by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of
heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come
to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You think so? Just wait till you see what I've got for you, DJ. Just wait. Please pray with me. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the water chaos, calling forth order and life.
In the time of Noah,
you destroyed evil by waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection,
Christ set us free from sin and death
and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, God, for the water of baptism. Move over this water, Holy Spirit, so that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. DJ, For you, little one, the Spirit of God moved over the waters at creation, and the Lord God made covenants with his people. It was for you that the Word of God became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. For you, Dalton Anthony, Jesus Christ suffered death, crying out at the end, "It is finished." For you, Christ, triumph over death, rose in newness of life, and ascended to rule over all. All of this was done for you, little one. Though you don't know any of this yet, but we will continue to tell you this good news until it becomes your own. And so the promise of the gospel is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. Dalton and Christine, what is the full name of your child?
Dalton Anthony.
Come on over. Ready? Do you want to touch this? Dalton Anthony Lewis Jr., I baptize you.
You ready? Are you ready?
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dalton Lewis Jr., DJ, child of the covenant, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as a Christ's own forever. You want to play more? Oh Lord, hold up DJ by your Holy Spirit. Give him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. DJ has been received into the one holy Catholic and apostolic church through baptism. God has made him a member of the household of God to share with us in the priesthood of Christ. Let us welcome the newly baptized. My hands are wet. Can you grab that? Thank you. Yay! How exciting! Welcome to the family! Uh-oh, it's all done. I closed it. Do you want to go sit back in your seat, buddy? You are so very handsome. All right. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Lord, who throughout these 40 days. We're only singing verses 1 and 3. Before we go back out into the world to be reformed once again, let me offer you a blessing. As you leave this space, may your mouth speak of God's goodness. May your arms hold those in need. May your feet walk towards justice. May your heart trust its worth. May your soul dance in God's grace. And may this be your rhythm again.
and again and again until God's promised day. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go with courage, go with heart, go in peace. Amen.